All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the library. My name is Tim Grimes. I manage community relations and marketing here for the library, and thank you so much for coming out. I know it's a really cold evening. We appreciate that you've come here for tonight's event. This is one of many events that we have here at the Ann Arbor District Library. If you want to find out more about our events, please go to our website at aadl.org. We have events almost every night. Coming up, we have two very special events in observance of Veterans Day. If you come back tomorrow night and join us, it's actually, we're going to be observing Veterans Day, but also the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. And we have a panel of local vets that are going to be talking about their experiences during the war. And then next Tuesday night on the fourth floor, we have a very special film called Hell and Back. It's an Oscar-nominated documentary. It shows a young man at war, but especially what it was like when he came home from war. And those are two special events that we're having in observance of Veterans Day. So, but lots more. Please go to our website or check out one of our brochures at the back. Our website is aadl.org. And tonight's event is also very special. We're going to learn about Ann Arbor's Greenbelt program. And here to tell us more is Ginny Tokyo from the Ann Arbor Greenbelt.
Thank you all for coming tonight. I know a lot of people might have been up late last night waiting for the election results, so I appreciate you guys coming out tonight. We're very excited to be here tonight and to talk a little bit about the Greenbelt program, as Tim had said. I'll provide a little bit of a background on the program and give you an idea of what we've been able to do today, but then I'll have my colleague Peg Coring come up and introduce a couple of landowners that we've worked with that have preserved their properties to tell a little bit more about what they do on their property and their farm, and then we'll have time at the end for some question and answer. So just as a little bit of a background, the Greenbelt program is a millage that was passed in 2003. It's a 30-year 0.5 mill, and it's really just dedicated to land preservation and acquisition. A portion of the funds are used for parkland acquisitions within the city, but the majority of the funds are used for farmland and open space preservation outside of the city, which is commonly referred to as the Greenbelt program. Tonight, I really just concentrate on what's going on outside of the city limits, but a portion of the funds, as I said, are used for park acquisitions in the city. So why a greenbelt? In 2003, when the greenbelt millage was passed, it was really kind of the height of the development boom. Land outside of the city was being converted to subdivisions. Between 2002 and 2007, the American Farmland Trust said that farmland the size of Massachusetts was lost to development across the country, and we were seeing a lot of that here in Washtenaw County as well, losing a lot of our farmland. And so a lot of the conversations when the Greenbelt was first passed was kind of focused on urban sprawl, but I would say that the program has matured since then, and the impact and our accomplishments have grown well beyond just that. So when I talk about a property being preserved, oftentimes I'm asked, like, what does that mean, or how do we do that? The city is not purchasing land and farmland outside of the city. The city has no interest in being a landlord and leasing land out, farmland out. So what we do is, you may have heard it called a purchase of development rights or purchasing a conservation easement, and those terms are kind of interchangeable. And when a conservation easement is placed on the property, the property remains in private ownership, so the farmer still owns the property. But it really preserves the agricultural, the open space, the scenic or the natural features on the property itself. It's a very detailed document that goes into what's permitted and what's not allowed on the property, and it basically limits the amount of development that's allowed, as well as making sure that there's no harm to any of the natural features on the property. And then once a year, the city, myself right now, contacts the landowners, and I go out and we walk the property and make sure that those easements are being upheld. So in 2005, the Greenbelt passed its first strategic plan as a way to really focus our acquisitions and our land preservation efforts. It's been updated a couple of times since then, first in 2009, and then the Greenbelt Commission has been undergoing a project this year of updating it. I would say that The major focus hasn't changed at the program, but there have been tweaks along the way. Obviously, a lot has changed with our economy over the last couple of years. And as the program matures, we make tweaks as we need to. But the major priority areas are building large blocks of farmland that's been protected, and that's really kind of a mix of farmland and open space. And open space protection, specifically talking about the Huron River watershed and being able to protect land along the Huron as well as creeks. The Greenbelt is also one of the major priorities is leveraging funds and finding partners in the area. And this has been a major priority since we began. And I'll go into it a little bit more in a few minutes, but we have been very successful in this area. And then this year, we also have had more discussions about conducting outreach to Ann Arbor residents as well as other Greenbelt landowners as a way to let people know what we're doing, so events like this, but also to Greenbelt landowners to keep the application process underway. So as I said, the Greenbelt had kind of identified areas for major preservation efforts and different blocks where we wanted to focus. And the goal was to put together at least 1,000 acres in each of these blocks. And so this kind of outlines those five priority areas, one being in the northwest part, the north central, Salem and Superior there along the eastern part of the Greenbelt, in the southwest in Lodi, and then in the southern portion in Pittsfield Township. So you can see in the kind of northwest and north of the Greenbelt, we've done quite a bit of activity, and we've been able to do over 1,000 acres. In Salem and Superior along the east, we're almost there, but I would say that these are just properties that the Greenbelt's been involved with, and there's a lot of other partners out there doing other things. And so along the eastern side, there is more than 1,000 acres of contiguous land. And then there are a couple of purchases that we've done outside of our kind of strategic plan blocks, but those are have been primarily with Washtenaw County Parks, where we've been able to partner with them, and it's now a county park. So this is a map of the Greenbelt and what we've been able to do to date. So this Greenbelt, this green boundary here is our boundary. We have a designated specific area that we can work within. The green properties here are properties that have been protected by another agency. So oftentimes that could be a county preserve, that could be a local land conservancy that has a conservation easement on another piece of property. And then these kind of peachy color ones are ones that the Greenbelt has been involved with. So as you can see here in the northwest, we've had a lot of activity. Just to the north of the city, we've had a lot of activity. And then this is that area that I was talking about in the east where we've done some projects with the Southeast Michigan Land Conservancy and the county. But there's also a lot of other activity out there. So just for a little bit of comparison purposes, this was all of the land preservation groups in Washtenaw County get together once a quarter. And this is what the map looked like in 2006, just a year after we started. So any property that's a color has been protected, and the different colors just designated by the different agencies that were involved. But then looking at it today, this is what it looks like today. So again, each of the colors is just a different agency, but you can see we've been able to do quite a bit. So again, 2006. And then the beginning of this year, and it will increase again by the end of this year. As I said, one of our major priority areas is working with partners and being able to leverage the city dollars. And we've been very fortunate in this area. Four different agencies have millages that we've been able to work with. Ann Arbor Township passed a land preservation, a farmland preservation millage the same time that the city did. And that was a 20-year millage. Scioto Township passed their millage in 2004, and that was a 10-year millage. That was on the ballot again yesterday, and that passed again by a significant margin. So we were very happy to hear that and be able to continue to work with them. Webster Township also passed a millage in 2005. That was probably our most rural township that had passed a millage for land preservation. That was a 5-year millage, and that was passed again and renewed in 2009. And then Washtenaw County has funds both for natural area preservation, but also recently for agricultural preservation as well. And so we've worked with them on a number of projects. So in addition to the millages and local partners, there's a couple other townships and land conservancies that we've been able to work with. Lodi Township has contributed some funds for each project that we do in their township. Salem Township this year was the first time that they committed, I think, $200,000 of their general fund money to land preservation, and so we're currently working on projects with them and hope to close on them by the end of the year. Legacy Land Conservancy, we've worked with them on two projects, one where they contributed some funds towards a project that we did, and one where they had an easement that was being donated but couldn't cover the acquisition costs, so doing due diligence, and we were able to partner with them on that. And then this year, also, we've worked with Southeast Michigan Land Conservancy on a couple of really innovative projects. This map over here to the right is Southeast Michigan Land Conservancy's Superior Greenway that they've been working on. And this was the area that I mentioned out on the east side of the Greenbelt. So there's this property here that they have been looking to protect for a number of years. It's now called the Jack Smiley Preserve, though it's named after their founder. And it's one where we worked with both the Southeast Michigan Land Conservancy and Washtenaw County to purchase the land and put a conservation easement on it. And we've worked with Washtenaw County on the Meyer Preserve over here as well. So although Southeast Michigan Land Conservancy had kind of started to build this block, we've been able to work with our partners and contribute and add to that. We've also been very successful with securing funds from USDA. They have a program that contributes up to 50% funds to purchase the conservation easements. And it's called the Farmland and Ranchland Protection Program. So we've been able to secure, I think, almost $7 million from that over the last 5 years. And we're still waiting for the farm bill to be passed, but hope that it continues. And then we've also worked with landowners. Oftentimes, landowners can make a below fair market value contribution. So if we have an appraisal for X amount and they take a price that's less than that, then that's considered a donation. And there's some tax benefits for them to be able to do that. So as we all know that this is probably not a surprise to anyone, but we've seen drastic change in the real estate market over the last 5 years. So when we first started, we were seeing appraisals coming in on average about $16,000 an acre. Currently, it's around three or four. So it's for the development rights. In addition, when we first started, obviously partially because of the high prices, but also just fewer partners that we had available to work with, we had a lower percent match. So the percent match is the percent of funds coming from outside of the city. So the first couple years, we were averaging about 20 or 30 percent coming from outside. Now this year we're averaging about 60. If you take the whole 5 years together, it's averaged about 50%. So basically for every dollar that the city has put in, another dollar has come from somewhere else.
Because usually the federal government is the 50% matching fund, or do we get something from Washtenaw County?
It's from all of those sources all those partners that I talked about, though. It could be a combination of two or three different ones. It could be the federal government, local partners, land conservancies, everything.
Thank you.
So then obviously if you combine those two together, the city's cost on a per acre basis has gone down dramatically. So averaging between $10,000 and $12,000 an acre, when we first started, the city's costs have dropped to about $2,000 an acre because of our partners and because the prices are different. So what have we been able to do to date? As I mentioned, we've got about 3,700 acres protected currently. We hope to have that over 4,000 by the end of the year. We've been able to leverage $19 million, so bringing that money into the city to help offset some of our costs. And another thing that we've seen over the last several years is really being able to facilitate that transfer of ownership to other farmers. So there have been a couple of deals when the property was owned by a developer that was holding it. We were able to purchase a conservation easement on the property. That brought the value down and made it available or cost-effective for a farmer to go in and buy it. And that's happened on a number of our properties. We've also preserved portions of the Huron River watershed. Oftentimes there's wetlands, there may be creeks along some of these properties. We've done quite a bit along Arms Creek in the northwest part of the city, or northwest of the city. There were also a couple of properties that we've protected that were once slated for really large developments that were going to have wastewater treatment plants on the site that were going to be emptying into the Huron River. Those are now protected. No more residential can be built on the site. It can't be subdivided. So that's another way that we've been able to help preserve the watershed. So if folks are interested in getting involved, we do have monthly commission meetings the first Thursday of every month. And we do have a couple of openings coming up next year. There's going to be a couple of commissioners that are term limited. So if anyone might be interested, Dan Ezekiel is our current chair. So please talk to him and find out more information. We also are trying to do more and more of these types of events. We do an annual bus tour every fall, taking people out to these sites, again, being able to meet the landowners, get on the properties and walk them, so be on the lookout for those. It's typically some Saturday in September when there's not a home game. And if anyone has land outside of the city that's in our green belt and you're interested in preserving the property, obviously could talk to me. I'd be glad to talk to you. There's also some local events that we often have tables and information, so if you're interested in learning what's been happening with us, check us out. And here's my contact information, and I will ask Peg to come up and introduce our landowners.
It's such a pleasure to introduce the landowners to you. The first one I'd like to introduce is the first one who has done a purchase of development right. We have Tom Bloomer tonight here. His wife, Roseanne, was not able to join us. In 2005, they put 152 acres into the Greenbelt, and they were the guinea pig. And so they worked us through all the bugs on it. There were still a few bugs by the time we got to the Wiedmeyer-Lindemann farm as well, but they helped us through those. So Tom's farm is in Webster Township. That's where we have the most acreage, kind of in the northwest corner of the realm of the Greenbelt. And it is on Northfield Church Road between north of Joy and south of North Territorial. We do have a map of the farm right there. That's Tom's farm, so you can take a look at that one. So, and we also have Karen Wiedmeyer and Bill Lindemann here. In 2011, they put 110 acres into the Green Belt. Their property is located in Lodi Township, and we're just thrilled to have that property because Lodi is one of the most agricultural counties still around, so we're just tickled pink that they've opened the door for us to talk with a number of landowners in Lodi Township. So I'm going to invite Karen, Bill, and Tom up here, and we look forward to hearing a few minutes from them as to why they preserved their farm, what it meant to you, and then we'd be very happy to take questions from the audience. So, who would... So, Tom, would you like to go first?
Sure. Do I have a choice? So I guess the first question is why preserve the farm? Well, our farm is, that's how I earn my living. It's our business, and that's how we look at it as a business. It's not just a place where we live, but it's how we sustain ourselves. And during the height of the sort of the land, the speculative era of land values, It was pretty hard for agriculture to compete against the inflated values that were being attached to farmland. And as a business, really, we had to consider whether we would stay in the Ann Arbor area, stay in Washtenaw County, or eventually sort of be not really driven out, but just it became harder and harder to justify lower agricultural values in face of really high speculative land values. The Ann Arbor Green Belt gave us an opportunity to ensure that we were able to remain competitive in a pretty active real estate market, remain competitive with farmland. And so I'd always felt that it was a good kind of program. It had been done in other places, and we'd watched it being done in other places, and we wanted to do it here. So that's sort of in a nutshell, that's why we did it. What we do on our farm is we raise partly just regular commodity crops, but we also raise popcorn that we market all over the country, and we raise food-grade soybeans that we market as well. And we do that marketing ourselves, as well as some wholesaling. So we have a fairly diversified operation, and that's what we do there. Is that?
I neglected to mention that Tom serves on the Greenbelt Commission as our farmer representative. So my apologies there.
Okay.
That's good. You can even say the name of your product if you want to.
Oh, well, it's complicated, but basically our trade name is Burr Oaks Farm, and our farm was named long before we owned it. It's just something we assumed. It used to be a Burr Oak Plain back before Europeans settled the area, mm-hmm. and that's the source of the name of the land there.
Okay. Bill and Karen?
Our farm is approximately 104 years old. It's been in the same family, my dad and my grandpa. My dad passed away in
2007.
Yeah. And at the time when the Greenbelt was formed, he sent me down to the Lodi Township. I believe you came out for a meeting, and he sent me down there. And there was myself and another farmer there. And the next morning, we talked about it, me and my dad. I worked with him on the farm, but that's not my full-time job. I was an Ann Arbor fireman for 26 years. And my dad he was interested, but I don't know why he didn't want to go ahead and do it. I don't know if he was afraid he was going to make me and my sister mad or what. I don't know what he was after. But then he passed, and then a few years later, my mother passed in 10, and I was down to township office one day, and you had sent somebody had sent us a email down there that they were interested in Greenbelt property in Lodi. So I called my sister up, and we get along very good together. So,
and I guess when after mother passed, we were cleaning the house out, and there sat an application for the Greenbelt.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right.
He had started it, but not really finished it, and the door was opened and. We decided it was probably the wishes of our parents to preserve
right.
this ground because it's been there for as long as I can remember. So that's how it got started.
It's a grain farm. Years ago, when I farmed with my dad and the fire department, we had cattle and sheep and hogs and pigs and
milk cows
and all, you know, corn, wheat, beans, hay. But then we had a few barn fires, and as we had the fires, we got just down to cash crops, and over the last 5 years, 6 years or now, all I grow on it now is just soybeans and wheat. And I just couldn't see building houses on it. I that's not what my dad wanted, and I'm not that greedy. I don't want to sell it to a developer. So, plus, we still have the option when I'm 67 years old, I have the option, me and her, my sister, that if we don't, if I don't want to farm no more, we can sell it to another farmer. Mm-hmm. I've already got somebody interested already, so.
And the property has a beautiful creek that runs from Pleasant Lake Road all the way to the very end of our property to Ellsworth Road. So it's a beautiful setting. Mm-hmm. And right on, and between Ann Arbor and Saline. So it's, there's housing developments on the, across the road and up the road. So we just kind of felt that this is what our parents wished, so that's what we carried out their wishes.
Good. Now it's your turn to ask questions. Tim will bring around the mic when you have questions.
Yeah, if anyone has a question, just raise their hand. I'll come right around. Okay, right over here. Hang on.
What's the difference between a hog and a pig?
A pig is newborn, and a hog is a male, or the full-grown. But we don't have it anymore. I probably shouldn't know, no, neither.
Anything else? Okay, right here. Did you have...
Well, I came in late, sorry. But I was just interested in where your farm is located. It's off Pleasant Lake Road?
It's about a mile and a half up off of Saline and Arbor Road. It's on Pleasant Lake Road. If you know where the fairgrounds are on Saline and Arbor Road?
Sure.
Just up Pleasant Lake Road, about a mile and a half. It's the first farm on the north side of the road.
Okay. I miss the important parts of what is going to be sustained for Greenbelt and how that is going. But I can ask you another time.
So what we have is 4,000 acres of conservation easements and protected reserves. So the land will always stay protected. So the conservation easements continue in private ownership. Some of the properties like the Fox Preserve that we've done jointly with the county, those are open for visitation or visitors for those preserves through the Washtenaw County system.
Is that still going on that if you have a farm you could possibly put that into a green belt?
In fact, Jenny and I were just talking just a few minutes ago. We're getting ready for the next, if the farm bill passes, we will be able to do another cycle of farmland preservation. So very much so. We have about $3 to $4 million left. Well, that would be okay.
So
just give us a couple hundred acres. We'd be glad to talk. So, yes, no, we're very, very active. Our objective is filling in 1,000 acres per township. We have two townships, Ann Arbor and the Webster area that we have that, or block that we have 1,000 acres. There are a couple we'd love to get 1,000 acres in the Lodi Township for sure, because that's, you can safely drive a tractor on those roads. You have a future in farming.
Someone else? Okay, I'm going to go right up here.
This is for Jenny, or you might be able to answer it too. You mentioned that the original plan was developed in 2005, the strategic plan, and that there have been changes in 2009 and currently. What kind of caused those changes, or what did you get community input, or why were those changes made?
In 2009, we looked at updating it primarily because that was a big change in the real estate market and the economy. We were also noticing a lot more interest from newer beginning farmers. Prior to that, we had really focused on larger pieces of land because those were the ones that qualified for the federal grants. The federal grants required at least 40 acres or greater, and in order to be competitive, you really had to have more than that, or more than 40 acres. And that was our greatest source of matching funds and a large percentage of that. So we started to look at, the commission was looking at how can we also look at a diversity of types of different farmland or sizes and help support some of those large or smaller farms as well. So I'd say now, I'm trying to think of the range of acreage, it probably goes down to 25 or 30 acres all the way up to over 200. And then again, we just, like I said, the Greenbelt's kind of going through the process right now. We are trying to get some input from our partners on those updates, and a lot of that is looking at kind of the next phase of the Greenbelt, because the city bonded for some of the funds up front. And the idea was that acquisition would be really, really heavy in the first probably 10 years of the program. Well, there'll still be acquisition later on, but a lot of the funds, there'll be fewer funds available, so it may be just one or two projects a year versus, you know, 8 to 12, what we're doing right now. And so looking at the long-term kind of sustainability of the program, what do we do to do outreach events like this, or the bus tour that we do, and also how do we just maintain that contact with Greenbelt landowners so that we have that constant source of deals to do.
I think there was a question over here. Was there? Okay, hang on.
I wanted to ask the panelists what they see as the future of farming in McClosin and Vron, Van Arbor. How do you think it may change in the future?
You say the what?
How will farming change in the Greenbelt in the future?
Larger farms. I think the days of the small farmers are drawing to a close. The farm age is average. It's probably mid-60s now for farmers, somewhere around there.
Something like that.
And the children don't want to continue on, so they're being bought up either as development or other farmers are buying them up, and they're turning themselves into mega farms, I guess, if you want to call it. That's what's happening, I think.
I guess I have a slightly different view of that. I think one of the benefits of something like the Greenbelt program is that it provides the stability of the resource, which is the farmland, so that it makes it possible to attract new operators. If in a declining industry, as people leave the industry, no one wants to enter it. We saw that with the auto industry in Michigan. You know, the average age of a Michigan auto worker is actually over 60. So not much different than farmers. But I think we're seeing that change now as we've seen reinvestment in the auto industry. We have fewer but newer employees, and I think the same thing holds true for agriculture, in that where you have stability in the land base and people see a future, you will have new operators. There won't be as many as there were before. Agriculture is no different than any other industry. There's continual concentration in the economy throughout, and agriculture can't divorce itself from that. So I agree with that, but I don't know that the only thing that can happen is just really large farms. I think there's room for different kinds of operations. There's room for everybody. And one of the things that happens when you have a community like Ann Arbor, which is really a good, pretty good community in terms of being aware of food, I think that opens markets for people to do different things. And stabilizing the land base is the first step in sort of redeveloping the agricultural economy in a certain area. We're going to see larger farms, but I think we'll also see opportunities for smaller operations too, because of the vibrancy of the Ann Arbor economy. That's just how I view it.
And just one thing I wanted to add to what Tom was just talking about, one of the easements that we partnered with Ann Arbor Township on did help facilitate that transition to a new farmer. The farmer had been working some land that was owned by the Ann Arbor Township. You may be familiar with the Tillian Farm Development Center. They had been working there and were able to expand their business and purchase the land after the city and the township purchased a conservation easement. So we've seen some of that in this area, definitely.
Yeah, we have someone else here.
One of the programs that I had heard about from USDA, particularly with Mrs. Obama, she's talking about linking farms to schools. Has there been any discussion with the farms here in Washtenaw County about doing that? Have you heard that amongst your colleagues? Are they, like, linking with local schools? So the theory here is that you have an immediate demand and you have nearby suppliers.
Well, that works for certain commodities. If you grow vegetables or things that are readily consumed in a local market, farm-to-school contacts or trade is happening. It doesn't happen for all of agriculture because not all products are appropriate for that kind of connection. But Ann Arbor and many school systems in Washtenaw County and actually throughout the state are pursuing active programs of linking farms directly to schools, particularly where you're talking about fresh vegetables.
There is another nonprofit organization called the Food System Economic Partnership, or FSEP, that's been working on that. They've been working in with the Ann Arbor schools and Chelsea schools and a lot of schools throughout Southeast Michigan on being able for the food service directors to be able to purchase food directly from farmers. So it's not something the Greenbelt's necessarily focused on, but there certainly is that happening in this area.
Someone else? Okay.
Is some of these areas open to residents to see?
Most of the farmland is still in private ownership, and there's not public access. That's one of the reasons why we do like to do the bus tour and go to different sites every year, because it gives some public residents an opportunity to do that. We have worked with Washtenaw County on several of the preserves, and those are all open to the public. So if you're familiar with Scio Woods, that's down in Scio Township along Scio Church Road, the Fox Science Preserve, also in Scio Township. And that's a site where the Ann Arbor schools bring their students for geology class or field trip. And then the other couple ones that I talked about with the Superior Greenway with Southeast Michigan Land Conservancy along the east side of the Greenbelt along Prospect Road. And that whole area there, actually all along Prospect Road, the intent is to build trails along there. So there'll be public access from Geddes Road all the way up to Cherry Hill.
Anyone else? Okay, right back here again.
Yeah, you mentioned that Tom is the farm representative on the Greenbelt Commission. Could you tell me who else is represented? Or not necessarily who, but what groups are represented?
Yeah, so the commission has two representatives from environmental organizations, one farmer, one developer, one city council, three public at large. Who am I missing?
Is there a biologist?
Oh, a biologist. Thank you. Yes. Thanks, Dan.
Another question?
Peg had asked which positions will be opening up next year. There's a public at large, there's a farmer representative, and an environmental organization representative.
Okay, another question here.
If somebody wanted to enter into farming, whether it be just agricultural or animals or even fish in the stream that was between Pleasant Road and so forth, how would you tell them to start out or go about doing it, especially in these hard economic times? People don't have a whole lot of money to start up businesses and educate themselves and get that done. Thanks.
You better have a lot of money to start with.
Or a good loan officer.
Or a good loan officer. It's very hard. I don't know. I was very fortunate. I had my grandpa and my dad, and I don't know where you'd start, to be honest, God's truth. It'd take a lot of money, and You can probably answer that better than I can.
Well, it does happen. It happens, but it's
hard. And you better have. And you get these magazines in the mail every now and then. They'll feature farms, and it'll be smaller farmers, you know, starting up, and they lived in the city and they come out in the country, and they go into a specialized crop. Well, that's fine and dandy, but if you read the article real close, one of them, either the man or the woman, has a full-time job with benefits back in the city. And that's what's paying the bills. Until you get that place going, there's a certain startup time. Without that second job and benefits, I think it'd be awful hard to do nowadays. Taxes that eat you up. Just seed, chemicals, it's unbelievable how it's gone up over the years. Fuel.
It does happen, though.
It happens.
And there are ways to do it.
Yep.
I think that, I guess my advice to someone is the first skill you need is, it has nothing to do with agriculture at all, really, but good reading and writing skills, because you need to do a lot of research and you need to do a lot of reading. You need the same skills that any other business requires, and that's the starting point. It's a very complicated issue, but people do accomplish it. It takes a lot of gumption and a lot of willpower. But that's probably true. That's true of starting any kind of enterprise. I don't know if I'd want to start if it's any easier to start a grocery store or a hardware store or anything. I mean, it all takes a lot of capital and a lot of vision and a lot of luck.
You also got to remember you're at the mercy of the weather.
That was the luck part.
And this year was a real deal. I mean, my dad and my grandpa never believed in crop insurance. And for some reason, I don't know why.
It was your sister.
It was my sister. My sister encouraged me to get crop insurance this year, which I did.
Well, probably because my husband and I own a farm near Manchester.
A bigger farm than what the Lindeman farm is.
And I could give you an example of starting out. We have a son that's a little over 40 years old. He works for Washtenaw County Road Commission. He's worked on the farm forever. So he works from the road commission, and at night he works at the farm trying to get enough money to and hopefully take over our, I think we have about 350 acres of farm ground that we raise crops on and cattle. So he's easing into it. He probably thinks he should probably inherit some of it also, but he's got to have enough money to support us too. So that's one example of how young, you know, you pass that generation on if you are a farmer with a son. So that's what we're doing right now.
Unfortunately, I got three daughters. So when the Lindeman is done, it's done for the Lindeman farm. Unless her boy comes down and buys it.
Someone else? Okay, right up here. Hang on just a moment.
Thank you. Forgive me, I'm a little bit confused on one point. So the easements contain property that it continues to be cultivated, if that's what the farmer wishes? Okay. Or would it also possibly be uncultivated property that's with natural beauty as well? And I mean, is it either or I'm a little confused. It continues to be farmed even if it's a part of the easement.
Right.
Okay.
And so typically most of the properties are not 100% one or the other. So it's a combination of farmland and woodlands and streams and everything. So if you can kind of see from the aerial here that there's still, this is the Lindeman farm, there's still a lot that is tilled, and that would continue to be in agricultural production. We don't mandate that it has to be in agricultural production, but it just can't be subdivided. You can't do anything to the soil that would prevent it from being able to be tilled in the future. And then the easement also spells out whatever natural features are on the property to make sure that those are preserved as well. So the woodlands can't be clear-cut. They have to be managed appropriately and stuff.
Even by new ownership then, obviously.
Right.
They would agree to these, to the conservancy terms.
Right.
And we still pay the property tax. We still pay taxes on it.
But it's important to remember that the easements are become part of the deed.
Right.
So it's a permanent easement that lasts forever.
All you can do is sell it to, if you want to sell it, just sell it to another farmer.
Or someone that doesn't develop it.
Right. They just want to buy it and...
Okay, we're going to go right back here again.
This is not going to be another pig one, is it?
No. You mentioned the property taxes. I was under the assumption that you guys were non-for-profit and taking a paycheck. Apparently, I'm mistaken about that.
What's that again?
Not-for-profit, a 501c3 or something of that for in the educational, horticultural, some benefit to the community for doing this.
We're trying to make
a
living.
It's a way of incorporation. I thought your incorporation was a non-for-profit corporation company.
My farm is a business. I pay property taxes and income tax, and that's how I earn my living.
Yeah, individuals do that, but the corporation doesn't. The corporation can own the property.
Well, farms can be organized any number of different ways, as any business can.
LLC or whatever.
Some are corporations, some are just sole proprietorships. But they're not nonprofit organizations. They're businesses.
Okay. Thank you.
The city is the one that holds the actual conservation easement, so... we just have the right to go out there and monitor and enforce the easement.
Okay, and we have another question over here.
Did I miss this point because I was late? But how did you how does one do this if one has 88 acres and they want to do this?
We have an application process that we review them on an ongoing basis. So there's an application that's submitted to me, and I do the scoring. The Greenbelt has selected a different criteria and scoring system, so I, score that. I then take it to the Greenbelt Commission, and then they make their recommendations to City Council whether we move forward and it meets our priorities or it doesn't. If it does, then it's a lengthy process. I would say... at best right now, 6 to 9 months, but it can certainly take over a year.
Anyone else? You guys have some final words at all? I don't see any more questions.
I just want to thank everyone for coming tonight. There's information out there on the table from some of our partners as well, the Legacy Land Conservancy and Washtenaw County Parks. And again, if anybody has any other questions, or I encourage you to get involved with the Greenbelt Commission or come to our monthly meetings as well and stay in touch with what we're doing.
Thank you.